Live from the Sandler Training Studio, this is News Talk 670 KBOI. If you're talking about it,
it's always about the money. Everything else is just conversation.
We're talking about it.
No excuses. Just find a way to get it done.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
All right, special guest in the Sandler Training Studio this morning, Boise State University Athletic Director Kurt Apsey. Morning, Kurt.
Morning, fellas.
It's almost here. Football is almost here. And you got a special thing. Instead of the scrimmage, which people used to attend,
yeah,
which would have been last weekend, I guess.
Right.
You've got something new called the Fan Fest. Tell us about it.
Well, we just want to try something different. We've seen it done at a couple other schools, and it's been real successful. And the theme really behind it is just giving our fans a chance to get a little closer to our players. They're going to come out and watch practice, I think, for about an hour and 15 minutes. Starts at noon tomorrow at Albertson Stadium. And when that's completed, we're just going to open the gates and let them down in the blue. We'll have some guys signing autographs, obviously, handing out posters and things like that. But maybe even more importantly, a great opportunity for our fans just to get to know these guys, get mm-hmm. close to them, take some photos. We'll have the three Fiesta Bowl trophies down there, our cheerleaders, and you know, just give our fans a chance to go down and get to know these guys a little bit better. They're awesome young men, and I think sometimes all you ever do is see them in a football helmet, so when they don't have their helmet on, you're kind of wondering who they are, and they're just great kids and a great opportunity for our fans to come down and get close to the guys. So excited about Saturday.
I'm guessing that by about 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, Facebook and Twitter will be inundated with selfies of people with Bronco players
coaches. I sure hope so, you know, and it is a little different. You know, it's not stuck in stone that we're going to keep doing it that way, but we're just trying something different. And, you know, these days with these scrimmages, coaches just across the country don't like to show anything. So it's already kind of turned into a practice. So we figured maybe just try something different and allow our fans to get down there and see our guys. And so I'm curious to see how that's going to go tomorrow.
And there are are so many people who, and you've been there in the summertime and I have too,
yeah,
who can't wait to take a picture of themselves with the blue in the back. Mm-hmm. I mean, the field is as big a star as anybody.
Yeah.
I mean, well, it's incredible. Here, you know, I am on the blue.
We set up that volunteer program this summer.
That's correct.
Kind of a welcoming committee, which has been really a lot more successful, I think, than we ever thought. But one of the things it's allowed us to do is to gauge not only how many people are coming to look at that field and tour the Hall of Fame,
sure,
but I mean, it's crazy. I think it was like 49 states and 15 countries, and over 8,000 people came through there. And now all these volunteers want me to start charging people. I'm not sure we're going to go that far, but it really is iconic, Paul. You know that, and
sure,
it's been around forever. And so now there's a real good chance to actually go down and touch it and feel it and be next to the guys. And so we're hopeful we'll get some people out there.
I thought that was kind of a strange thing for tourists to show up and just take a picture of an empty field,
right,
you know, when there's no game going
right
on,
yeah,
until I went to Ann Arbor with a friend of mine and I did the exact same thing.
Sure.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Or Notre Dame.
Sure.
Or, you know,
any
I mean,
of
it's,
the big
well, you
big
see
things.
This thing, and ours is, you know, obviously a lot different looking. So it's, I mean, when you're in Boise and mm-hmm. you're not from here, that's one of the very first things people want to do. And it's been just really successful, and we'll probably try to build on that next summer and maybe do something even a little different. Yeah. But
and yeah, flying in on an airplane, I mean, people are looking out the there it is.
Right.
There it is.
Right. Yeah. It's
how are ticket sales going?
Good. We're probably about 92 or 93% of our goal from a season ticket standpoint. This week, the whole week, we've offered individual tickets to all the games to our season ticket holders, which ends today, I think, at 5. Now, they can continue to buy those. And then on Monday, it's the first opportunity for the public to get tickets to individual games, the 29th. And it's been good this week. But still, we gotta keep selling. And
oh,
we've
yeah
got until, September 10th at 7 o'clock at night to sell the last season ticket and mini plans and group ticket sales and all that. So people in the ticket office are humping, and we're getting there.
I think those mini plans are a good idea.
Yeah. You know, these days, you got to find different ways.
Yep.
People are either not able to commit to six games. I know that our fans are frustrated with the game times, and so we can't just sit back and hope that they come. We've got to give some opportunities that maybe give people a chance to come to half the games, and we've tried to kind of break it up to where you get maybe a premier game and some others. And so that's been actually real successful. I think we've sold 300 or 400 of those, and I think people are taking advantage of it, so it's been good.
Yeah.
If you like to watch college football on a Saturday afternoon tomorrow, you can do that.
No doubt about that. Yeah, there's lots of stuff going on. So yeah. It's here.
Noon. Bring your camera. Take your pictures. Take your picture with your favorite player.
There you go.
I mean, it's
or your favorite athletic director.
And you're going to be giving away.
He might be. Yeah. He'll be. I'll be down there. I don't know if they're going to want their picture taken with me, but I'll certainly take pictures for them. So I'll be down there and looking forward to seeing our fans.
And you're going to give away posters too. Schedules,
yeah.
That
team
the
posters,
players can
sign. They don't have to bring anything. They can get it signed by all the guys. And you know, half the time people are signing their arms or their necks or whatever they can get a pin on, they'll take advantage of it.
Kurt, thanks for stopping by.
Right,
good
fellas.
Luck with the Fan Fest tomorrow,
noon
to 3.
It. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Albertson Stadium. Kurt Apsey, KBOI, Boise State Athletic Director. All right, time for a final check of right now traffic.
This is Navy Week, and the executive officer of the USS Boise is in town. I'll tell you what he had to say coming up on 670 KBOI.
Remember, you are listening to Idaho Talks Live on 670 KBOI.
Paul, Jay, and Chris on a Friday morning. Our thanks to Kurt Apsey for stopping by. It's going to be a really nice thing for, you know, we're so used to being around and being on the blue, having access.
Mm-hmm.
To the players and the coaches and all of that stuff that the ordinary fan really doesn't get much of a chance to do.
Right.
It's not like the old days where you could go down and walk around on the field
the
game.
It's just like, you know, Major League Baseball teams and things when they have a fan appreciation day. This is like that, only it's, you know, our college football team, Boise State University.
Yep.
And you can take selfies with the players and the coaches and meet people, talk to them, you know, ask them about their injuries. They won't tell you about them, but you can ask them.
Yeah, no, and it's just going to be a nice deal, and a lot of people were upset about losing the
scrimmage,
you know, and we'd always broadcast it and all of that.
But Kurt was absolutely right.
Yeah, they wouldn't show you anything.
Yeah, he was absolutely right. At a scrimmage, they wouldn't show you any of their more interesting plays anyway, because they're saving those for a game, and they don't want to tip their hat to anybody.
Yeah, and now, you know,
tip their hand. They do want to tip their hat, but they want to tip their hand.
We're inside 10 days to the first game, so you know they got some game planning going on, and they really don't want to, as you said, tip their hand. They want to show you nothing, which is good.
By the way, there is a Comic-Con tomorrow here in Boise.
Seriously.
It is the Boise Library Comic-Con. So my guess is it's at the Boise Library. Actually, go to Boise Library Comic-Con. Just search that for all the details. And Todd Clark, you know, that writes Lola, just sent me the information on
Todd's
that
a, dude
a
now.
Little bit ago, about half an hour ago.
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah, Todd's a great guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he will be there, obviously, so you can meet cartoonists and different people like that. A lot of those comic cons are so popular now.
Yeah, and so if you're downtown tonight, when does it start?
It's tomorrow.
Yeah, well, it doesn't matter.
It just says tomorrow after. He says search Boise Library Comic Con for all the details.
If you're downtown tonight, they'll be out.
Oh yeah,
they will be out, guaranteed.
Definitely.
And that's what all the strangely dressed people are here.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's called cosplay, and it's something that you know, a lot of people enjoy. They dress up like their favorite, either, you know, superheroes or comic book characters or what else? Pokemon.
Yep. Yeah, all that kind of stuff.
Or anime.
Federal Reserve Chair Janet Yellen expected to say this afternoon the case, hang on to your wallets here, folks, the case for an interest rate hike has strengthened in recent months in light of recent strong job growth, but she gave no signal that Fed policymakers will make a move at their September meeting. and remarks prepared for delivery at the Fed's annual symposium in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. How much does that cost?
Well, it's like when all those the rich people in the world converge on Sun Valley every year. It's the same kind of thing.
Yeah. Yellen said the Fed's policymaking committee continues to anticipate that gradual increases in the federal funds rate will be appropriate over time to meet the Fed's goals for inflation and employment. Well, here's an idea. If you're going to charge us interest, if interest on loans is going to go up, give us some money back on our savings. Give us, do you get, like a 0.1%?
Yeah. Why are we earning such little interest when they're raising? But when they raise these rates, that's of course the rate that banks can borrow from each other. Mm-hmm. However, yes, it does translate into slightly higher rates when we borrow as well.
The Fed raised its benchmark interest rate in December for the first time in 9 years. But it has stood pat since then at a historically low 0.4%.
Well, I mean, it's
amazing.
It's kind of nice of them, because when the economy tanks, as it did 9 years ago, they tend to not put the bite on anybody if possible.
Has that been 9 years already?
Yeah, 2007.
Wow. Yeah.
2007, 2008. But it's been either 8 or 9 years, depending on what you think the biggest event was.
In earlier statements, Yellen had said a rate increase would likely be in coming months. The timetable has been removed from recent Fed communications. Although job growth bounced back strongly in June and in July, averaging 273,000 a month, after a spring slump, economic growth has been weak for three straight quarters. Inflation remains stubbornly below the Fed's target, which is 2%. And the United Kingdom's Brexit vote amplified concerns about a weak global economy. Yellen added, "I believe the case for an increase in federal funds rate has strengthened in recent months." So we'll see what that means.
Yeah. This is Open Phones Friday, and that means we would like to hear from you. Our telephone number in the Boise area is 336-3700. We'll talk about whatever you want to talk about, 336-3700. If you're outside the area, 1-800-529-KBOI. That's 1-800-529-5264.
If you're a Verizon subscriber, #670 is a free call on Verizon Wireless, or you can instant message Mr. Chris
just by going to KBOI.com, and there are instructions there on how to do it.
All right, 8:56, we'll take a news break. Back with your phone calls after this.
If you're talking about it,
it's always about the money. Everything else is just conversation.
We're talking about it.
No excuses, just find a way to get it done.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
Top of the morning, it's an Open Phones Friday, 336-3700, 1-800-529-5264, #670 on Verizon Wireless.
Here's a question for you.
Yeah.
Have you ever voted for a candidate because they were ahead in the polls and you thought, might as well be on the winning side?
No.
Good.
Because usually I'm on the losing side when that stuff happens.
Makes sense. Dave Aboisi wrote in to say, does it seem like all the polls we hear about are designed to slowly prepare the masses for Hillary Clinton to be our next president? They should have no actual say about what really happens. Yet I think this is their way of telling we the people that Hillary will be the next president, so get used to it. I know why the polls are taken in the first place. There's no other reason but to deceive the public. You hear it so much on every poll that Hillary is ahead by a landslide and blah, blah, blah. I am sick of it, and I hope it does not wear we the people down to the point where we just fold and accept the inevitable.
I wonder how we the people would feel if Trump was ahead in all these polls. Would they still be bogus, or would they be, hey, these polls are right on?
I think Dave the people would feel a little better about the whole thing.
Well, he'd feel better about it, but if his candidate was ahead, would that make the polls valid when his candidate is behind? Obviously, it's a big scam.
Mm-hmm. That tends to be people's opinion. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bob here quickly said, sure. So can someone tell me how Hillary can be considered for president of the United States
when she sent out material from her personal server that even the highest committees in Congress don't have the clearance to read, yet it went out to other people.
Hey.
Well, they're working on that.
Yeah, people with a lot more knowledge of the courts and what happened than us haven't stopped her. So, you know, apparently she's done nothing wrong, in their opinion. John in Boise, you're on 670 KBOI. Good morning.
Good morning. We the people need to get out and vote every time.
No question. How do you think the turnout will be? It hasn't been good lately.
Well, I don't think there's as much hoopla, but, you know, in the sense of because of the candidates themselves, I think there was more fireworks in that sense last time, more paradism. I think we're, you know, stuck with a showboat and a liar, and you can put the label on either one of them. I guess it's hard to
Yeah, that's kind of depressing. True, but depressing. Well, yeah, yeah.
Which is which? Well, it doesn't really matter.
I think, but that's what we get or what we deserve or what we've earned.
Yeah, you're not the first person who said, you know what? We're getting what we deserve here.
And we have, so, you know, we cried, complain, and moan about how the very few decide basically who's going to be the president.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, there's about 220 million of us to vote, or somewhere in there.
But I would think...
And we get like, you know, 43 million or, you know, 60 million.
But I think in this election in particular, whoever is elected president could be elected president with as low as 30 to 35% of the popular vote.
Yeah, right.
Wow.
Because the whole rest of it won't be going to the other person.
The big thing really is to control what's going on locally, and even our local things get, you know, manipulated. Let's have these off-season votes on school bonds or, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It just needs to be, you know, in that sense, a little bit more fair. We talk about being fair in taxes and all this other stuff, but yet we're getting to the point where, you know, it's outright bribery to get you to go to the polls because, you know, if you don't vote for me, you're going to lose this.
Yeah, there's a lot of fear mongering going on and appealing to paranoia mongering and all of that kind of stuff.
Well, I would say really a large majority of what we're seeing right now is, you know, one campaign keeps complaining about the other about this fear mongering.
Yeah.
But they don't talk about their own bribery.
Exactly. And you know what? Using fear works. It's been proven time and again. It works.
Right. But there's always fear of loss, too. It's not just
True.
Fear of who's, you know, coming here or whatever that is.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. No, I think it's bigger than that. Yeah.
You're going to lose your health benefits or your Obamacare, which you know, is going down to you know what.
Yeah. Or your Social Security is going away. I mean, they deal in fear. It's like talk show hosts on the radio. They deal in fear, most of them.
Yes, right.
Traditionalism. Yeah. All right, John. Thanks.
Thanks for the call. We're kind of losing him.
Yeah.
It's an interesting, whenever people talk about taxes and they say, you know, that they just want fairness in the tax system, what you realize is that nobody agrees on what that is.
Yeah.
To some people, fairness means, okay, everybody should pay the same percentage. You know, if you have $100 and the percentage, say, is 15%, then you pay $15. If you have $1 million, then you pay, you know, what is it, $150,000.
Yeah.
And that's fair. Everybody has the same percentage. And other people say, no, it's not fair. If you don't have hardly any money, you shouldn't pay any taxes. And if you have a lot of money, you should pay other people's taxes. And they said, that's only fair. Well, why?
Yeah, I mean, what makes
which
that
one,
fair?
You know, to me, that flat tax, the percentage has always seemed like it would be the most fair. However, I don't know that it necessarily would pay for everything the government is already doing.
Well, and here's the deal. You, like my mom used to say, can't get blood out of a stone.
True.
People without money wouldn't pay.
Mm-hmm.
And there it goes. It's blown up already.
That's what a lot of people, they say that...
It's blown up already.
You know, that if you have $1,000 and I have $100, then I should pay nothing in taxes and you should pay $900 so you also can have $100 regardless of how hard you worked for your $1,000.
That's depressing.
Well, to some people, that's fair.
I know. That's depressing. Let me say, that's depressing.
It is.
All right. Taking us up to a break, let's go to Luther in Chalice, if I can get him to... Hang on, Luther. I'm coming after you. Luther, good morning.
Bleep. Yeah. Well, okay. So I was reading all kinds of archaeology stuff and geology stuff, and I came across this somewhat dubious paper about a land, a mythical continent. It was called Republicana. And on this continent, there were many different kinds of dinosaurs. And there was one, one with massive mouth and a very small brain. It was called T. Rump. And they were writing about how they found piles of them. T. Rumps. And that's what we've got to worry about, because, you see, I know that Hillary is a really good lawyer. She knows how to lie, because that's a special class you take in law school. And but I can't read what Donald is, because he doesn't have a self. He's not like the rest of us. He really is not presidential material. He will destroy the Republican Party. It's very curious. And, you know, so I don't like this election, period.
Yeah, I don't think...
And I'll probably... I know I'm not going to vote for Donald. I know that for sure. All anyway.
Right. Good stuff.
Let's go get him, Broncos.
All right, thanks, Luther.
Thanks, Luther.
All WY right. News Time, 9:15. What do you call it? Trumposaurus?
No, T-Rump.
T-Rump, right. Yeah, T-Rump. WY News Time, 9:15. We'll be back. All right. Got a phone call from a lady. It's an open phone. It's Friday. Paul, Jane, Chris. WY Rewards Code. Is dinosaur, D-I-N-O-S-A-U-R. Now, somebody called. We talked earlier this morning about a recipe of stuff to de-skunk smell your dog. Ma'am, if you're listening, here it is. Step one, of course, keep your dog outside. Step two, mix these ingredients together. And this is the one, Chris.
Okay.
1 quart of 3% hydrogen peroxide, which is available at any pharmacy. So
right.
1 quart of hydrogen peroxide. 1/4 cup of baking soda.
Okay.
All right?
All right.
And a teaspoon of liquid dishwashing soap. What's the blue one? That's the best one.
Dawn?
Dawn, yeah. Right. So there you have it.
All right.
1 quart of hydrogen peroxide.
But no tomato juice at all?
No.
All right.
1/4 cup of baking soda. And a teaspoon of liquid dishwashing soap. Wearing rubber gloves, wash your dog with this solution immediately after she's been sprayed. Do not get the solution in her eyes. If you don't have peroxide, baking soda, and liquid soap on hand, use vinegar diluted with water. But this works. This works. Hydrogen peroxide, baking soda, and dishwashing soap. I've done it a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. All right.
Okay, so. But even though there's peroxide, your dog, you know, if it's if it's black or brown, it'll stay that way, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not going to change his hair.
Just wondering.
Yeah. Okay, open phones Friday. Let's go to Rich in Boise. Rich, good morning.
Well, I would think hydrogen peroxide would bleach your dog.
Nope, doesn't do it. 3% hydrogen peroxide doesn't do it.
Well, you remember when the 2012 election, when everybody was saying that the polls were wrong because they were sampling more Democrats than they were Republicans? Do you remember that?
I do.
And, of course, they had to sample more Democrats and Republicans because more people claimed to be Democrats. So it worked out. So now they're saying the polls are wrong, all because the Trump supporters aren't registered yet and stuff. But they take all that into account, you know, the polls. I've been watching polls really closely since 92. That's why I know for a fact that Ross Perot didn't change the outcome of that election. I've never seen a candidate with demographics quite as bad as what Trump has.
Let me ask you a question. You've been watching them since 92?
Yeah.
How often have they been right?
Oh, the polls have been, in the presidential election, have been right every year.
Every year.
In 2000, they had Al Gore ahead. Now, he did win the popular vote, but he lost the presidency. So I guess they were wrong then, but that was kind of an aberration.
Time.
But you know when they come out and they'll say that like Dukakis was ahead, and he lost, he was only ahead in some polls. You know there are some polls that you know he wasn't ahead in an average or most polls, but generally they're right, and they'll close towards the election, get closer and closer, and then they go back apart in the last 3 days or something. If I've always noticed it happens. I mean, that doesn't mean that, I mean, we're still 60 days out, so that doesn't mean that Trump can't win. The polls can change.
Sure.
The polls are just if the election were held today.
Yeah.
But they tend to stay, the state-by-state poll is what you want to watch because that's the Electoral College. You know, the national vote doesn't really tell you much.
What about
you know,
John's?
It kind of gives you an indication, but.
What about John's contention that the polls, if the polls heavily favor the guy you don't like, you won't vote because there's no sense in doing it. You're just wasting your time.
Well, I don't know. You know, I mean, there's some people who always root for the guy that's behind.
Sure.
And then there is people who will change votes because they want to be on the winning side. I'm not sure. That would be interesting if they could figure out how much the poll, if you didn't have any polls at all, what the outcome would be. I don't know. You know, there are some people, and there are some people who would probably get so discouraged that they wouldn't vote. You know, I mean, all those things are possible, you know, because you know there are some people. There are some people who vote for the underdog, but there are probably more people who don't want to vote for a loser.
Yeah, I get you. Okay, Rich, we are out of time. KBOI News Time, 9:26. Let's take a news break. You're listening to Idaho Talks Live.
Live from the Sandler Training Studio, this is News Talk 670, KBOI.
A full-service Suboxone program that accepts Idaho State Medicaid insurance is now available in Boise. Ideal Option Suboxone program is excited to be able to offer our services in Boise. We are board certified in both addiction medicine and emergency medicine. We offer a full service Suboxone program that accepts Medicaid and other insurance. Please call 1-877-522-1275. That's 1-877-522-1275.
Say today is National Dog Day. All day long. If you have a dog that's a problem on National Dog Day or any day, and you want that problem corrected so your dog becomes a great citizen, a good dog to be around and hang out with, call Sit Mean Sit Dog Training. They're Idaho's best. They will give you a free evaluation at 888-7978. That's 888-7978. Football season's coming up. They are the official dog trainer of the Boise State Broncos. They'll evaluate your dog, tell you what they think should be done and what they think is what should be done. They have a transformation academy. They'll teach your puppy all kinds of things that help him transition to a good dog that you can trust in the house. They have obedience classes off leash. They'll teach your dog tricks, foothills etiquette. They'll train your retriever. They can do it all. Get your dog evaluated, then you get him trained. Sit Means Sit Dog Training, 888-7978.
Thinking of the 2016 Mercedes-Benz GLA as simply a compact SUV would be like describing an 1800-year-old cathedral as just four walls and a ceiling. The GLA is both a beautiful work of design and one of the most functional SUVs in its class, and it's available for a limited time at an exceptional price. Packed with Mercedes-Benz SUV heritage and style to catch your eye, the versatile GLA turns heads at a price that will stop you in your tracks. So why drive any compact SUV when you could be driving the 2016 Mercedes-Benz GLA? Lease the 2016 GLA 250 for $329 a month for 36 months with $3,623 due at signing. Mercedes-Benz. The best or nothing.
Monthly lease payment is available only to qualified customers exclusively through Mercedes-Benz Financial Services and participating dealers through August 31st, 2016. Some equipment described as optional. Call 1-800-344-8736 for details about costs and terms.
Drive the exciting 2016 GLA today at Mercedes-Benz of Boise, home of the overnight test drive, or visit LylePearson.com.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 3, listen to Nate on 670 KBOI.
Open Phones Friday with Paul, Jay, and Chris. Go to the phone, Scotty in Middleton. Scotty, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you guys doing?
Good.
You know, it puzzles me how the American people are wont to vote for socialism. Now, I lived over in Europe and I've lived under various governments, socialist and conservative. Under socialism, you don't get anywhere. The harder you work, the less money you make, because number one, they whack you for taxes. I mean, you get taxed up to the hilt. I couldn't get people to work for me on a Saturday and Sunday, because Saturday was time and a half, Sunday was double time. And instead of making dollars, they were making pennies. And I just can't understand, sir, why they're doing it. The program that they've got here that they're bringing out, this socialist program they're trying to bring into the country, they have failed. Just look at Europe. That their programs over there, they've been tried years ago. Tax the rich. Okay, you tax the rich. The people with money can move. The worker cannot.
That's true.
This country here, sir, believe you me, you've heard me before, this is the greatest country in the world. But there's only one thing wrong. You've got to work to get on. And a lot of people don't want to work. Mm-hmm. They see you with a new car, they've got to get a new car.
Yeah.
They haven't the money to pay for it. No, sir, I'll tell you, I've lived under various governments, and I've been in various countries. And believe you me, the American people waking up, because we're going to lose our country and we'll never, ever get it back. Believe you me, sir.
All right. Thanks, Scotty.
Have a good day.
Appreciate it, Scotty.
Yeah.
Well, and Scotty said he couldn't understand why people would vote socialist. There are a certain number of people for whom socialism would raise their standard of living.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, he likes this country, or people like this country, because the harder you work, the better chance you have of succeeding. Well, there are people who either don't want to work hard or don't have the ability to work hard, or regardless of what situation they're in, there are people for whom socialism would actually bring up their income, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think we're in that group.
No, poverty...
I think it would kill us, but...
Yeah, poverty in this country, somebody said, comes with a 55-inch flat-screen TV.
Well, yeah, I mean, and part poverty, obviously, is relative. I mean, you go down to South America, Central sure. America, and there are people who have absolutely nothing. A lot of places in Africa, people don't even, you know, have places to live. But we... You know, we've got homeless people in this country, and we've got people who are mentally ill and sick and things like that. But even for the poorest Americans, we still have a fairly high standard of living compared to the rest of the world.
True.
Okay, you've at some point in your life read the book 1984.
Yes.
By George Orwell.
Yep.
And one of the things they did in that book, of course, was they had doublespeak and things like that. But you, the police would come after you for using certain words. There were certain things that you weren't supposed
that
to
would
say.
Tip them off.
And this was sent to me by Bob. It's an article about the University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee. They have put posters up all over campus at the University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee, and urging students not to use certain words. For instance, they don't want you to say politically correct, because if you say that, then that indicates that you're disconnected from authentic understanding of the impact of words, they say. And that it's to say politically correct has been a way to deflect, to say that people are just being too sensitive. And they also say that you shouldn't use words like lame, because it ridicules and ignores the lives of amputees. You shouldn't say man up to somebody, because it suggests there's only one way to be a man, and it also suggests that women aren't courageous or strong. You're not supposed to say third world, because it reinforces hierarchical attitudes toward nations around the world, establishes westernized or industrialized countries and cultures as the standard upon which to measure national well-being and economic status. And it says don't use a word like crazy, because that creates a negative and demeaning perspective of people with mental health diagnoses. Now, there are a dozen or so words on this poster that they are telling you shouldn't use. And then there is a number you can call at the bottom of the poster if you think there are more words that they didn't include. And so what they're trying to do, apparently, is reduce the English language down to the simplest terms possible and make people, you know, instead of using... Instead of using, I don't know, you know, similes or idioms or anything like that, they just want you to say exactly what you mean, which I don't think we're necessarily used to doing. But like they say, okay, here's some more: ghetto, gypped, illegal alien, retarded, all kinds of things like that. Nazi, let's see, trash, anything that you could say that would be derogatory to anybody or compare them to somebody in history that was, you know, less than revered.
Now, if I say something like parking Nazi, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yes, I do. And believe me, I've met a few of them in my time, and so have you, I know.
Oh, yeah.
But here's what Bob wrote about it. He says, it is no wonder that our country is going down the toilet, with universities even thinking about addressing subjects like words we shouldn't use because someone might be offended. You probably can't find too many words that someone doesn't object to.
True.
I lost an eye, some hearing and feeling in one of my legs in Vietnam to guarantee the right of people to say what they want to say. Yeah, I know you can't yell fire in a crowded theater, blah, blah, blah. What a bunch of fragile little snowflakes we have in college these days. They are lucky they don't run into me and tell me what I can't say. Most likely after hearing what I would tell them, they would go home and cry to mama. Now, please try to find someone to defend the last 8 years in this country. Is there one thing that is better than before those 8 years? And he says, what brought me to this subject was the president of the student body who was on the record defending this at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Now, it's nice to be polite.
You don't have the right to not ever be offended.
This is true. It's great to be polite. It's preferred to be polite. I like to be polite whenever possible. You like to be polite whenever possible. Todd likes to be polite. But the fact is, you can't go through life and never offend anybody, and you can't go through life with a guarantee that you're never going to be offended. You are.
It's good for you sometimes to be offended.
Yeah, there are things that
makes you think.
There are things that are going to rile you up a bit.
Makes you think.
But we do have free speech in this country, meaning that people can say what they want. Yes, it's better when people say exactly what they mean and don't necessarily demean people with a lot of slurs, but we still have freedom of speech.
Yeah. All right. 9:45, we'll be back with your phone calls.
This is Navy Week, and the executive officer of the USS Boise is in town. Tell you what he had to say coming up on 670 KBOI.
KBOI News Time, 9:49 on an Open Phones Friday. Glad to have you along this morning. Let's go to Mark in Boise. What's wrong with this phone today? Mark, good morning.
Hey, guys, good morning. Hey, if anybody gets a chance and they care about access to, what, you know, lands to be able to, you know, I'm not a hunter, but the fish, hike, whatever. Look at the depth section of today's paper. It's done by Rocky Barker. Do Texas...
About the Wilkes brothers?
Yeah. You know, I am so sick of reading stuff like this. You know, apparently it's changed hands for the second time, but this company who took it over has a apparently a tendency to basically shut the public off from any access to land. 172,000 acres in Valley, Boise, Adams counties, intermingled, it says, with Boise National Forest, Payette National, and Idaho State Endowment lands, along with other non-industrial private lands. I guess this new, the deed was filed in Valley County on Tuesday. A list of new owners as DF Development, LLC, and interesting enough, and you know, Paul, my stance on fracking here in Idaho.
Yeah, I saw the name of the the company.
Isn't that funny? Yeah. Chief Financial Officer, and I guess he's tied in with Frac Texas Services.
Frac Tech Services.
Yeah, and then they something about they sold to a Singapore company for $3.5 billion. Well, you know, I'm not saying they're going up to the frack. That's not the point. But they apparently also did this in Montana where they bought 300,000 acres, another 38,000 acres of land in Idaho County back in 2015, and they closed it off to the public.
Yeah, a lot of what they bought used to belong to Boise Cascade,
right.
But Boise Cascade kept it open to the public.
Right.
And then they sold it to Potlatch, and then Potlatch now has sold it to this what are they calling themselves, Southern Pine Plantations?
Right. That's what's in the article here. But
yeah.
I guess my point is I don't know if we can something can be done with our state legislation or our legislator or governor, whatever, to stop this type of thing from happening in the state so it closes us off. I mean, we have the federal government doing this kind of garbage. Now we have private investors coming in, and some of them I remember up in Placerville because I used to go up there to go and pan for gold, you know, things
sure.
like that. They closed off a large section of the ground around there to where it used to be these open, there were mines back in there. And part of it, I can understand, is a safety reason. But the Chinese, if you remember a couple years back, three or four years back, some Chinese investment companies came in and they decided to reopen some of the mines up here because they found, I guess, rare earth minerals along with possibly more gold that's still in the ore up here. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, they close it off to everybody. You don't have access. There's got to be something that can be done, folks, to protect the people's rights to be able to go and, again, hike, fish, hunt, whatever they want on these lands. And I think this is dead wrong for this type of stuff to be happening, whether it be here in Idaho or anywhere. And I don't know what your guys' thoughts are on that. Thanks.
All well, right. Thanks,
now,
Mark.
According to the article up in Montana,
yeah.
what they did is they bought up several ranches. Now, Ted Turner did the same thing many years ago, too. He didn't want
to... And you don't have access to his stuff yet.
Well, yeah, I don't think he wanted to do any fracking. I don't know that for a fact, but he wanted to raise bison. I know that much.
Yeah, we're not sure these guys want to frack either.
But what they tried to do in Montana is they had bought several ranches that weren't right together. And they owned so much land that they said, well, we would trade you some of the BLM land, federal land, in other words. We would trade you for some of the BLM land so we can have just one little area that's ours, and then all these other areas would be wide open. Now, Rocky Barker in this article says at the end that that's a gesture of good faith in Montana.
Yeah, he kind of flames out at the end of the article.
Yeah, maybe it is, maybe it isn't, but I don't think the Wilkes brothers are going to be doing anything that's just strictly a goodwill gesture to the state of Idaho or the U.S. because
yeah.
they're going to do this to make money somehow.
Yeah. Mike Simpson, Idaho Republican congressman, said the Wilkes purchase is an example of what would happen if the federal government sold off its public lands like Ted Cruz had proposed. It's amazing, and both of us...
Well, and those guys gave a lot to the Ted Cruz campaign, too.
Yeah, both of us at the end of the article went, what?
Yeah, he just let them off the hook.
Yeah.
Right? On the other hand, they might be good neighbors. Who knows?
Yeah, he said it's their land. They can do what they want, this Rocky Barker. But their good-faced gesture in Montana could show they might be willing to open their land to public access in Idaho, perhaps under the Access Yes program managed by the Department of Fish and Game. If they did, they might find southern Idahoans welcoming their new neighbor. I don't think anybody's welcoming these guys. It's
well,
amazing.
I think it, yeah, the article just makes a lot of people worry, I think.
Yeah.
Quickly here, Bob says, I know how you get everyone to pay. This is tax, a consumption tax. Everyone, including drug dealers, need to consume food, gas, etc. There, everyone pays. The rich pay more because they buy more. Boats, planes, furs, etc. They will pay more. And yeah, that's been an idea that people have floated for some time.
Yeah, it has been. And are you going to deny people people who can't afford to pay tax? I guess everybody can buy food, but a lot of people can't afford yeah. taxes on it.
And Dave wrote to say that what can we the people do to control who becomes the next president? He doesn't remember anybody really begging Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton to run.
Nor do I.
So he's got to figure that the people must have liked somebody else.
I don't know, though.
Yeah.
They sure didn't throw anybody else out there. All right, we are out of time. Thanks for calling. We didn't get to all the calls. We apologize. Something to think about with Mike Rogers is next. Brought to you by Boise Church of Christ, where church is family. See you Monday.
Now, something to think about with Mike Rogers.
The odd thing about all the news coming about our poor performance of our schools to get kids college ready by graduation is that the Democrat Party platform just doesn't care. The Democrat platform talks about ending the so-called test and punish version of accountability. Sounds good, I suppose, but only 12% of students taking the ACT passed all four of the critical test areas. 38% passed three of the four. I don't think it's the kids, but somebody needs to be punished. How can we sit by and let a whole generation of kids fall short of their potential because the schools we provided them have failed to teach them? We have a bit of a crisis in our education system across the country today, it seems to me. We can go to our corners when it comes to school policy, or we can recognize that we had better stand together for real reform. 3/4 of our kids aren't cutting it for college preparedness, and neither is patting the teachers' union on the head. Something to think about. I'm Mike Rogers.